With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ooh, lore boys here. I'm Ethan, your host, joined by Peter, my skin is too tight, O'Donohue.
My skin is far too tight, that's what they call me.
And James.
James, down with the sickness, Miller.
Well, that's not what I was going to call him. I guess you could say he is down with the sickness.
That's not what's on his birth certificate. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. What's on his birth certificate
Release
is...
the birth certificate, Jamie. Were you born on this podcast or not?
What's on his birth certificate is, James, I forgot my PIN number, Miller. Of course. Because he's always forgetting his PIN number.
In Quebec, we call it a NIP.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
In the age of the contactless payments, James is hopeless, or James thrives. Yeah, truly.
My credit card doesn't even have embossed numbers on it anymore, so RIP the knuckle buster.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
dude. Future.
Dude.
This is the Lore Boys.
Hi.
We talk about video games a lot. We talk about other nerdy stuff sometimes. We like to talk about the real nerd. Fake history is the best history.
We never talk about anything cool or sexy, like girls or sports.
No, I got my second level 60 WoW character this week. I definitely don't talk about girls.
I 100%ed the Surge too.
Nice.
I've been playing Subnautica again.
Oh,
I'm making good progress. I just got like the sickest sub in it. It's like a base. Like, you build bases in the game, like, underwater, and, like, this sub is so big it is a base, and you, like, build shit inside of your sub.
Does it control like a Winnebago?
It is so hard to control, Peter. You have no idea. Like, the batteries die so fast, and I haven't built the charger yet, so I'm just, driving it around until it dies, and then I gotta go figure out how to build a charger.
Jesus. I played Sekiro for a couple hours, but the PC port is... Say it with me now. It's a From Software game.
It's very good.
Fucked.
It's good.
Fucking broken. Doesn't detect my PS4 controller, and you can't even use DS4 fix to fudge an X input. I can only spin the camera, and then I tried playing with mouse and keyboard, but physically do not have the ability to finger yoga enough to dodge, and I was just like...
Speaking of ports, I bought Holiday on Switch. Perfect for Switch. So good.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun. I'm almost beaten it a second time now, and I love it.
I beat Blasphemous, which we were talking about on the last episode. Yeah. Fantastic. The second to last boss is glitched and put a really bad taste in my mouth right at the end of that game there.
If anyone knows...
Who made this garbage?
If anyone knows anyone at Team Cherry, tell them to contact us at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com because I've sold at least 7 copies of that game. I have told so many people about it.
Want royalties, damn it.
No, I just want a free Silk Song and I'll sell at least 7 of those too. Yeah.
You're like a Girl Scout.
Yeah.
You're going door to door with copies of Holiday.
So, League of Legends.
Oh, what's that?
Never heard of it.
As the listeners know... We're talking about because it's on the title card.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the title.
Yeah, tell me MOBA.
So I wasn't sure.
Offense of Ba Ancients.
I wasn't
which
sure.
Which was a joke I stole.
I wasn't sure what I was going to be talking about this week until I wrote the darn thing. But
sometimes the scripts just write themselves, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I mean, Eve was a contender because we've had some requests for it on the Discord. Check out our Discord.
I'm interested
in the description.
In that, actually.
But, Eve does seem super interesting, but League, Legends of Runeterra, the open beta just came out, which is, the League of Legends card game.
I heard it was good.
It looks pretty interesting if you like card games. I haven't actually tried the game yet, but the new season of the League Championship series just started, the new Spring Split.
Right.
So that's something that I always watch and follow, even if I don't always play the game.
I saw a funny post from someone who might actually be listening. They posted, what what card game should I get into now? And like, is it too late to get into? And all these types of things. And the person who might be a listener was like, oh, if you want to get into Artifact, they haven't updated it in over a year, so it should be easy to keep up.
Yeah.
I no joke, looked up the Steam stats for it the other day.
It's like 3-4 people?
It was 73.
Oh my
still,
God.
Crazy low. Anyway.
Half-Life Alyx better be good, boys.
They sold out of Vives, so I think it'll do fine.
Okay.
So I played League of Legends hard for 5 years, 6 years. It was pretty much like the only thing I played, and new single-player experiences would come out, and I'd play them for a week, and then I wouldn't finish the story, and then I'd go back to playing League. I still play it from time to time, so I'm still pretty sporadic on it. It's like... It's just like a comfort thing at this point.
Yeah,
it's like, okay.
Yeah. But, I came over when, like, in November or whatever. I came over and you were playing it when we were going to set up for Extra Life.
Yep.
You had to briefly relapse.
Yep. This week too, it's just been like crazy at work, so it's like nice to just come home and like, I'm just going to play a game of League of Legends because it lasts 40 minutes, and then I do really badly and I walk away and I say, okay, that's
my university years. Ethan got me to download it, and it was like 2011, 2012, so it was just gaining popularity then. I once played it for like nearly 2 days straight, like with no
oh
breaks.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, I played a lot of League of Legends, and I wasn't that great at the beginning. I like to play Blitzcrank and just, it's basically a guy with
the
a hook.
Blitzcrank days, man.
Yeah, a guy with a hook, try and throw.
He's a big robot.
Yeah.
He's like brass, and he's just got like an extendo arm, like Inspector Gadget, like an arm on a spring.
Oh, okay.
And it just like reaches out and grabs somebody and pulls them to him.
Yeah.
Oh, is it on the good, like the folding mitt boxing glove, so there, on like the scissor
there
lift thing?
Is a skin. So how League of Legends makes its all its money is it sells cosmetics.
Yeah.
The game is completely free to play. There are no barriers to entry. It is not pay to win in any sense, which is probably like the biggest reason I'll champion it. God knows it's not the company and all their really shady practices. But
when you come over here and fart in my face, man, just to really get into the spirit of Riot Games. Yeah.
But there is a skin called Boom Boom Blitzcrank where he's like, he's got a black eye and he's got boxer's glove and boxer shorts, and it's a one of those scissor spring thing.
Exactly. Okay,
from a Looney Tunes.
But
or
kind of like an all or nothing. If you hook someone, that's great, but if you just missed it, they know you can't do anything
do
for
much.
The next 13 seconds so that they can move up. He's really great at zoning, but
that's how Houdini got killed. It was the cooldown on his like old-timey magician's boxing glove.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. His shield was down. So.
Yeah.
So League of Legends, well, I guess Jamie's mentioned his experience. Peter, your experience is...
Zero.
Not, yes.
Yeah. I had two roommates who played it.
I guess you could say not a list, huh?
What?
Oh, God. Nautilus.
That that's the champion. I've been told about that one. That's the big daddy.
That is the big daddy.
A friend of mine who was just like, hey, man, first hit's free, and handed me whatever, a little dime bag of League of Legends. He was like, this one looks like the big daddy. You like Bioshock, don't you? And I was like, I sure do. Yeah. And then never ended up playing
it. Played it.
Right.
Yeah. I had two roommates who played it incessantly, to the point where it actually caused me to move out because they were both on unemployment insurance at the same time. Meaning
big
it was,
mood, my dude. I've been there.
It was me waking up at, you know, 8 to go to work, and then they would wake up at noon and both just play League until 4 in the morning. So my entire waking existence was either being completely alone in the morning or just being blasted by League of Legends. Because I will admit, it is not a good game to have in the background because that game is extended periods of silence and then wickedly loud outbursts out of nowhere. So it's not like you can remove the focus on the noise, because as soon as you start dozing off, somebody pops their alts in mid and rattles all the plates out of the cabinets and shit.
I don't know, man. With gaming, like with stuff like that, I play a lot of video games, but that is the line that I draw. If do good job at work, maintain a good job, then you're free to play as much as you want.
I mean, they were fun employed. That's really the point, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. They're living off the government, which is what the government's for, in my opinion.
Been there, done that. And I played Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep me at my Razer keyboard and mouse, government. That's
exactly all
I need from you. Yeah.
Ace Watkins.
I was going to say Ace Watson Prez 2020. Gamer 4 Prez.
So League of Legends is a MOBA game. You guys know what MOBA stands for. For the listeners at home, it's
multiplayer online battle arena.
That's what it is. It derives from Dota.
Dawn of the Ancients.
Defense of the Ancients.
And that is it was originally a Warcraft 3 custom game.
F's in the chats for Warcraft 3, by the way.
Yeah, these are the Reforged.
I bought it. I pre-ordered it. And just to be able to play the old version of it, and like before Classic WoW came out, like when I before I did my Arthas episodes and stuff, not only did they gave me the new one, but they took away the old one.
Yeah,
I can't even play the old one.
They
now.
Broke it too. Yeah. It got so bad they just have automated refunds for it now. They're just like, fuck it. Yeah.
So I've been a Blizzard fanboy for a long, long time, and I don't think I'll ever buy another Blizzard IP.
Oh, you're done?
I cannot support them at all in any way.
Why not?
Predatory
Overwatch?
Business practices. Like
Overwatch 2.
Yeah, dude. Overwatch again.
Yeah.
I own it already. Thanks.
It's like so stylized you can't even tell it looks better.
Yeah.
It's just gonna. It's the first one's gonna look good forever. So like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They got my money. They got my monthly payments. Yeah, I'm too deep into the classic
WoW. Yeah.
And Burning Crusade. If they do it, which they will, because they'll get my check. I'm gonna play it.
And when they re-release WoW Classic in 2050, you're gonna sign up for that.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. give me that 2006 shit, man.
Yeah. So anyway, a MOBA is kind of over the top. You control a single character in League of Legends. Specifically, you have four spells at your disposal plus two bonus spells.
The camera, I believe, is isometric, so it's top down at an angle,
at a slight angle. There's three lanes. Minions run at each other. You try and knock down their base. They try and knock down your base. There's not that much to the game itself. There is a lot of depth in terms of like strategy and things like that.
Team composition.
The most notable thing about it is the team composition. The sheer number of characters that they are. I actually didn't look up a total count of characters.
Yeah, there's when I played there was at least five.
Yeah, I would say there is at least five characters.
I absorbed some of their names via osmosis when I lived.
Who is the girl with the bow?
Oh, I don't know. I know Lux is the girl with the lasers.
Yeah, sure. I'm firing my laser was the Lux meme for a while.
I knew about Nautilus.
Nautilus was the big daddy from BioShock. He's like an old timey underwater man.
There's that iDubbbz chameleon.
What?
iDubbbz chameleon.
She's like, Botha, why are you so sad, the froggy man? She's one of the new ones.
What?
I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
I'm
out of the loop on League anyways. But
I can't remember that, yeah.
And maybe Nico. I don't know. It must be Nico.
I don't know.
She's a shape changer. She's confusing because she can make herself look like another champion. So you see a champion running at you. And like I said, they each character has their own four spells that only
Katarina.
That character has. Katarina's one.
The four spells.
Yeah,
are...
each character has four spells. And so, this character runs at you, and you're like, oh, I know what spells this character has. And they're like, oh, but surprise, it's Nico, and she busts out, and she has four completely other different spells.
Okay.
So she just gets you to, like, misplay like that.
And the spells are, like, usually referred to as Q, W, E, and R, because those are the
binds.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are, yeah.
So, like, oh, watch out for that Garen. His Q is up. Bro.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
know what Garen's Q is. But
Garen's Q is he runs really fast with his big old sword. He's got like a cloud buster sword, basically.
Yeah.
He gets a movement speed buff, and then he hits you, and he silences you.
Oh, so
you
that is
cast,
something.
Silence being an effect that you can't cast any of your spells or do anything.
That's classic D&D.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's classic a lot of video games, huh? So the big thing with League of Legends is the sheer number of characters, which is where most of the lore comes from. So I guess let's get into it.
If you're on the Discord, I once posted a tree on how all the League of Legends characters are intertwined, and it is bonkers.
Yeah.
there's so much there, and we're gonna scratch the surface.
Pepe
today.
Sylvia shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We're gonna talk about a couple characters' associations. We're gonna talk about a bit of prehistory, kind of creation, the stuff that I like to start with, anyway.
What was the wood chopping company that created the three lanes in the forest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the CEO?
It was Acme Inc., and it was Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
I expect he's one of the next characters to get unlocked.
Yeah,
it's a bit like, I guess the characters is like, it's a bit like Smash if none of them were previously owned IPs,
Yeah.
So just like every character can do their own thing. Smash being Super Smash Brothers, I guess, as a comparison.
Oh, Super Smash Brothers,
yeah.
Got it.
Anyway,
let me smash.
So the land that it takes place in is called Runeterra.
Like the card game.
Yeah, like Legends of Runeterra, the new game from Riot Games.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, right? It's all coming together.
Now I get it. Some good internal consistency,
yeah.
Riot.
Runeterra in Latin literally just means like magic land. So we're going to Magic Land.
Oh, rune means magic in Latin.
Magic Land sounds like somewhere you'd be molested.
I don't know if it means, it's whatever the root of rune is.
You heard it here first, people.
Rune means Latin.
It's old Italian.
It's actually rune is the correct pronunciation.
Rune terra.
So
Andante.
It is officially listed as an oblate spheroid planet. So
wait, say that again. Oblate spheroid planet. What's oblate?
Is that like our planet?
It's the same as our planet.
It's like Earth.
Vaguely pear-shaped, where it's just not symmetrical on a certain axis.
Oblong.
Yeah, so there's oblong or oblate.
I got it.
So think about what an oblong is.
It's a type of
Just think
of
about
fruit?
It. You don't have to say it. Just You don't have to say it. Yeah.
Okay.
You're thinking of oolong. That's a type of tea.
Okay, got it.
So it has two known continents, Valoran and Shurima. Though if you look at a map, there's like one that very distinctly is like almost as like an island, which is as large as the other two and looks like it could have its own plate, but it's not listed as a continent for some reason.
Oh, okay. They don't legally recognize the existence of Australia.
Exactly.
They're just
You just read my joke.
Oh. Excuse me.
Pretty good. It's called Ionia. So for people who've played the game, you know, you've heard for Valoran, for Ionia.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of different factions.
For my welfare check.
Exactly, yeah. There's a lot of different factions in the game. They're all vying for supremacy in their own way, just like real life Earth.
Yay!
Like those shifty EU fellows always trying to conquer the world.
What are we vying for?
me?
Well,
I'm vying for my welfare check.
Okay.
I'm actually vying for the government to pay all gamers, to subsidize gaming. Hashtag subsidize gaming.
I'd vote for that.
Oh my god, that's like gamers rise up territory, guys.
Gamers rise up!
I mean,
don't say it.
don't say it isn't so.
We don't mean that. If we were being taken care of by the government, we wouldn't need to rise up.
Yeah.
Gamers take a handout. Sort of thing.
Yeah. Every month. Gamers become complacent.
Yeah.
You get your food stamps. You get your subscriptions to all your WoW stuff and all that. You get your Joker makeup in the mail.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
So I'm going to do a quick run through of
all the characters. Good.
A few too many. Again, I don't have the official number, but it's a few too many to cover in an episode, I think, at least well. But I'm going to cover some of the nations and some of the bigger ones and some of the bigger cities, some more interesting. This is going to be a real quick cap, so if you don't remember these names, don't sweat it too much. I'll bring back the ones that matter.
But there will be a test.
So there will be a test.
There's always a test at the end of the podcast.
Yes, but every answer is C. So there's the Freljord, which I don't know if you could guess. From the J sounding like a Y.
It's the Sweden.
It's a northern frozen waste home to hardy raiding warriors of individual tribes known as the Iceborne.
Like Ymir. Okay. Ymir? Yep. What's his name? No, that's the Smite one. Who's the jungler, or he used to be a jungler, and he has an axe that he throws. And
that's Olaf.
Olaf, yeah. Olaf, yeah.
That sounds like a very
fjord.
Yeah. You mentioned the girl with the bow, the ice bow.
Ash.
Ash is one of the leaders of a tribe in the Freljord. Her bow is made of true ice, which is like a magical ice.
Absolute zero, yeah.
Unmeltable, presumably?
Unmeltable.
There you go.
She has a really fun ability. Her alt is that she can shoot this frozen arrow, but it goes like the whole span of the map. So you can like blindly think like, okay, that person just died, so they'd probably be running about here if they're running back down the lane. Just like blindly throw it, and then you can see that you hit them from like literally across the map. I've done it a handful of times, and I got so excited.
There's
That's pretty cool.
Time too. So like there's a mechanic called recall in the game where like if you're out on the map and you get knocked to whatever 10 health, you run back to your turret and you hit B and you have a teleport back, but it takes 8 seconds to teleport.
Okay.
So if somebody could ping and be like, hey, like this person just tried to go back, you know, or this person's at 10 health, and you can like, again, you can blindly like you can see the mini map, but the mini map's all dark because of Fog of War, which is a gaming mechanic.
So you can aim it just for where they're going to spawn in their home kind of
thing?
Well,
you could do that. That's really hard to time. Or you could just guess like, oh, a lot of people like to go back right by their turret because it's kind of like safe.
Yeah.
You know, so you say like, oh, I'm going to shoot it like right behind the turret, and you just like hope to hit them kind of thing.
Dude,
and do the 10 damage and kill them.
That's a pretty dank MLG shit.
They just like show up back, like they press back, they show up back at the store, their health is regenerating, but just get hit from an arrow so far across the map. Yeah, die.
And the arrow is as big as a person, if not bigger. It's a little crazy, if you ask me.
And what is alt, for the uninformed, it's generally the most powerful ability that a character in a video game has.
Yeah, so At level one,
yeah.
Every level, Ultimate. You get to put a point into an ability. So like I said, we have four. At level one, you can put it into your Q, W, or E, one of three. And you have to wait till level six to put any points into your ultimate.
So a lot of pushes will happen right at level six.
Exactly. Yeah.
All of a sudden.
There's a lot of plays that happen around it. Like, you're in your lane against your opponent, and you're level five, and he's level five. And you're trying to get the last few minions to unlock your ultimate ability before they do, because now you have a huge advantage in a fight.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of timings like that. Anyway. We'll get back to the Freljord.
We're gonna talk. Crazy though. Some of the stuff too, like there's jungles, so there's places between the lane, and one of the roles is to kill these monsters that are there. But then there's like counter jungling, so someone knows, oh, someone will kill this mob at 3:33 every time if they're doing this route, which they usually do. So I'll hide in a bush and I'll kill them before they do that. Then I'll steal their mob. So and then there's counter juggling, and it's like.
So at a professional level, there's definitely a lot of that timing going on, and there's like just like so much more communication.
It's
and like
so cool.
A lot of the levels I play at, it's a lot of I'm gonna go counter jungle by myself now, and then he just runs in and dies. And you're like, great, dude,
and then blames you, everybody's at each other's.
Well, nobody's coming to help me out, guys, and you're like pushed under your turret trying to just like farm. And,
I have to say that one of the most toxic communities in gaming I've ever been involved in was League of Legends. Mm-hmm. As soon as you start to lose a little bit, everybody turns at each other's throats, and it's hard to win when everybody's shitting on each other, then feeding. And
I often just mute all. In League of Legends. Yeah. It's just because it's gotten a lot better because they've implemented a system. So they had a system for a while, right? Games implemented a system called the Tribunal, which was like if a person got reported enough, they would go to like a jury basically, and you could sign up for jury duty, and you could get
you get points
to unlock skins and stuff.
Okay, so it's the same as real jury duty.
Just for like weighing in on some things, and it wasn't that effective. And then they implemented a reward system where if you just play well, rather than reporting you, other people can say like, "Hey, this guy did great at this
shot caller, good player, friendly teammate, stuff like
and
that."
And it was actually a lot more effective at like curbing that. The same reason, you know, you shouldn't, you know, hit your pet on the nose, but you should reward him.
Yeah,
because gamers are dumb like dogs, is what I'm trying to say.
Pavlov's gamer.
Whenever you hear the V-Bucks jingling, they start to salivate.
Okay. Let's get through some more. Some more places. So we've talked about the Freljord, the Northern Frozen Wastes. There's Noxus, which is an incredibly competitive expansionist country. It's got some evil vibes to it. There's Jamie would know Darius, who like has a big axe and he wears all red and he's like super tough. Katarina is from Noxus.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She's a rogue.
Yeah, she's like a roguish type. She does this like spin and throws a bunch of daggers kind of thing. She's like an assassin.
Goes invisible.
Yeah. No, Katarina does not go invisible.
Doesn't she put down a circle where she can be invisible in that circle?
No, you're thinking of Akali.
Oh, I am thinking of Akali.
You're thinking of Akali, who's from Ionia. Then there's Demacia, which is kind of like the counter to Noxus, or it was for a long time, where
that's
like
Garen.
Strong, lawful kingdom which values justice, honor, and duty.
Demacia.
At least it used to be. Yeah, Garen's from Demacia. Jarvan the Fourth, who's a playable character in League of Legends, is the king of Demacia. So it's experiencing in current timeline League of Legends is experiencing internal strife because a lot of people don't accept Jarvan the Fourth, who is a playable character in League of Legends, as their king or whatever.
Yeah, the third died. Kind of fucked up. I don't trust the fourth. Yeah.
His father died unexpectedly, and people were like, "Not my king." Then there's Piltover and Zaun. Which are
Piltover and Zaun.
Yes. So it's,
it's the suit company in League of Legends.
Piltover and Zaun, attorneys at law. Have you been injured in an accident recently? Yeah. Call Piltover and Zaun. We'll get on that case.
Did you get ulted in mid recently? Yeah, call Piltover and Zaun, Esquire. We will help you.
So
Lux gets mesothelioma.
So Piltover is the progressive city of wonders, and the struggling undercity beneath it is called Zaun, choked by noxious fumes and perpetual darkness. These like thrive. It's like the city of technical wonders. So you know, all the steampunk characters come from Piltover, basically.
Technical wonders. Yeah. It's everything's powered on steam.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
And like it's kind of funny. So like
fire
League of Legends. Anytime you play a game of League of Legends, canonically speaking, you are summoning a copy of that hero from the world.
Summoner's Rift is the map.
Yeah, so you play as a summoner. Like, your character is actually a summoner, and you can choose whichever, you know, hero you want to summon.
Okay, so it's kind of like Magic, where you're a planeswalker and you're pulling things in from other dimensions.
Exactly. You can only pull one thing in per game, per match, because game mechanics. But like canonically speaking, a lot of the characters you can play in League of Legends didn't live at the same time, never could have met, never could have fought. And it's more like it's like a, what was that Spike TV show? Who would win in a fight, a samurai
Deadliest
or a ninja?
Warrior.
Deadliest Warrior. It's Deadliest Warrior, the game, basically.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So Piltover's on.
It's like epic rap battles of history as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's Piltover's on. There's Targon on the southern continent. It's the tallest peak in Runeterra. It's
Targon.
Sure. It's Runeterra's
Targoff.
Yeah.
Targon. Targoff. It's the highest mountain and the lowest pit.
It's a mythical place, nearly impossible to ascend, but those who do often return changed, imbued by an aspect of unearthly power.
It's where the barefoot characters all go on their Tibetan monk quest, basically.
Essentially.
Okay.
So,
cool.
So there's Leona, who's like a sun aspected knight.
She's cool.
She's from Targon. Yeah. And then there's Diana, who's like the moon-aspected knight, who killed every other member of the moon cult when she ascended.
Then came back with dreadlocks and a hemp bag.
Yeah, exactly. There's Shurima.
And a greater-than-thou attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Shurima, for which the continent is named. Once a powerful empire spanning the farthest reaches of the vast southern continent, Shurima's empire collapsed after the last empire was betrayed. Was betrayed millennia ago.
Okay.
So it was a thriving empire, and it collapsed long, long ago when the last emperor was betrayed. I'm pretty sure, and I haven't looked into this, and I'm planning on doing a follow-up episode to this episode with more League of Legends, but I'm pretty sure it's Azir was the last emperor. Who's a playable character in
He's
so, like a bird with a spear, and he can cool. summon other birds with spears made out of sand.
Sorry. I didn't expect that one. I played the game. I didn't see
he's
that
like
one.
A, I guess he's kind of like an Egyptian god sort of thing.
Exactly.
How do birds even hold on to spears?
Shurima is desert themed. And they built these huge things called like sun discs that could like communicate with the stars, and they were like super advanced civilization, and they eventually crashed.
Okay, they're the ancient aliens, basically, of League.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
There's Ixtal, renowned for its mastery of elemental magic. Ixtal was one of the first independent nations to join the Shuriman Empire.
Is Ryze from that?
No, Ryze is human who is changed by the power of the runes. I thought I did write examples of characters, so maybe I have it lower.
Ryze is like a blue-looking dude that... His health scales with his mana, I want to say, or his magic power scales with his mana, or
His ability. He deals more damage based on how much mana he has.
So,
his total mana.
Yeah, one of the mechanics of the game is like as you kill stuff, you get money. So you, on top of choosing where to put your skills, you also have to choose how to build your character with the items that are in the store. Yeah. So that for him, I remember buying. It was not typical. You wouldn't buy straight ability power stuff, you'd buy mana stuff because it would affect his ability power. So you build him different than another caster.
He's a magic machine gun is how he was built. He's actually named after one of the founders of the company. I don't remember which one. But Ryze and Tryndamere are the two like usernames that that the creators of Riot Games used in all their like Dota matches and stuff.
Oh, neat.
They were Ryze and Tryndamere in Dota, and so they created the characters.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Tryndamere is in love with Ashe, the girl with the true ice bow that we talked about earlier.
Ooh, Tryndamere was a cheesy player. Back when I played, like if someone had Tryndamere, like, oh, great, here's a Tryndamere. And it was usually someone who was like going to try and pick a fight at any given point. Yeah. And like
he's one of those players that every time he's on your team he just feeds, and anytime he's on the other team he just destroys lane and wins the game. His ultimate ability is just become invincible for like 6 seconds or whatever it is, like
yay.
So it's one of those things that like if you know how to play around it and you just use crowd control, like just stun him and then like step back and then let his ult run out. And I was like, oh, who cares? You know, but so many people just like, especially Bronze League, you just don't know how to play against it, and you just die. There's Ionia, which I had mentioned, off the coast of Noxus. Ionia, known to many as the First Lands, is an island unto itself. The balance between the spirit and material realms seems to be more frayed here. There's a lot of, like, spirits, kind of in a traditional sense. There's Wukong, the Monkey King, you know, who's a sentient monkey. And we'll actually get into what Wukong is on this episode. But there's Bilgewater, which is a pirate town.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Point for now. And there's the Shadow Isles, the land now known... I thought this was cool, so I included a bit more on this one. But the land now known as the Shadow Isles was once a beautiful realm, but it was shattered by a magical cataclysm. Black mist permanently shrouds the isles, and the land itself is tainted, corrupted by malevolent sorcery. Living beings that stand upon the Shadow Isles slowly have their life force leached from them, which in turn draws the insatiable predatory spirits of the dead.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's so kind of...
Dead Man's Island.
Similar to, like, Malazan with, like, the Shadow Island and all that stuff a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
In Detroit.
Just
Detroit. Motor City, baby.
None of us have been to Detroit, I'm assuming.
I have been to Detroit once. I was there for a couple hours.
I've been to Buffalo.
You were in an airport, though. You haven't been
no,
there.
I drove through it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've driven through Detroit, sorry.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We drove through it and, like, did one detour. So.
I don't know if that counts as going to Detroit.
I've been to Detroit.
I've seen it. I saw it. I left
it. I don't know about that.
I stopped at a Subway in Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. Been to Cleveland.
So. I drove through. It was dark by the time I drove through, and there was just, like, so many steel mills just, like, burnt. Like, it was a cloudy winter day, and, like, the sky was just lit red from all the steel mills, like,
yeah,
burning.
Yeah, it was weird.
That sounds like a hellscape.
It was, like, spooky. It was, like, ethereal, you know? Outside of the material realm, there is, of course, the Void, which is home to Hellspawn, known as Voidborn. That's where all the monsters come
from. Okay, cool.
Cho'Gath.
Voidborn, I'll take you on. I don't know, that stuck in my head.
Headstrong, but short.
Yeah, sounds similar.
Same number of syllables, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I bought it.
The Cho'Gath, who you would know, is Voidborn. There's Kha'Zix, who you might know.
I know Kha'Zix.
Vel'Koz, who you probably don't know.
They're all, like, Kassadin. Monster-looking guys, basically. Yeah. Cho'Gath is purpley, if I remember right.
They're
and
all,
like,
purpley. Purpley is, like, the aesthetic of the Void.
Okay.
Yeah. So all their, like, default skins have purple. That's, okay. That's camouflage in the Void.
A hulking thing with that looks like it has, like, carapace all over it, and, like, can make someone, like, spikes beneath someone else and knock them into the air and stuff like that.
And his whole thing is he's
and he gets bigger.
A tank, so he has his ultimate ability deals a ton of true damage, which ignores armor and magic resistance.
Okay, cool.
That's why I like
and
Olaf.
If you kill somebody with his ultimate, you gain more max health.
Oh,
so, like, you just keep trying to use your ability, like, properly, and eventually you just get tankier and tankier.
You can just get juiced on other people's blood.
Snowball.
So, with the prehistory, as with most universes, at first there was nothing.
Nothing but the Void?
There was just nothing.
Oh.
Just nothing. So, exceptionally, from this nothingness came a singular being, Nagakaboros. That's a name.
And Nagakaboros got bored.
Nagakaboros.
And it sounds like something else.
And sang the universe into existence.
Yeah, exactly.
So for one who spawned everything League of Legends, details on Nagakaboros are frustratingly and perhaps intentionally vague. It must be hard for mortal historians to document anything that is completely and utterly above their understanding.
Created all life on Runeterra, but nothing to write with. So he was just like, "Ah, I'm sure people will remember me."
Created all universes, including the universe upon which Runeterra is found.
Okay.
Like very, very Lovecraftian. So most often Nagakaboros is depicted as an enormous serpent, serpent head with tentacles spiraling around it in endless motion.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Again, not a ton known about her, but details here and there. So some of the only references to Nagakaboros is with Alawi, who I'm not sure if Jamie knows, she's a champion in League of Legends. She serves as a priestess to the tentacled Elder God. So she's kind of pirate aesthetic looking, and she carries, like, this, like, urn that glows kind of, like, green, and she can summon, like, ethereal tentacles of her god to, like, attack
enemies.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
Central to Illaoi's religion is the three tenets of the Great Kraken. That every spirit was born to serve the universe, that desire was built into every living being by the universe, and that the universe only moves towards its destination when living creatures chase their desires.
Okay.
So the cult, the religion is all about, like, it's natural to want things, and, like, the strong should prevail in getting what they want.
Good. We had nothing. Now we have forward momentum.
Exactly.
So let's
go. Yeah, there we go.
So, as truth bearer in the religion, Illaoi has two main responsibilities. First is to be the Kraken's general in the war against undeath, because undeath is unnatural and not, you know, the desire of the universe, apparently.
What if those people just, like, really wanted to be alive? It's just like they're working towards staying alive.
That was my exact thought.
But, like, Nagakaboros is just like, Well, I mean, I didn't mean it literally, guys. Yeah. Anyway, kill these things.
Just kill these things.
Yeah.
Second, Alawi's task was seeking out individuals of great power and challenging them, knowing full well who fail will be utterly annihilated. So one of her abilities is she, like, draws out the spirit of a person and, like tests it, basically. So you, like, draw out their ghost, and then you can hit their ghost instead of hitting them.
Take a little dab of ectoplasm.
Exactly.
On the tip of a knife, taste it, you're like, yep, cocaine. Mm,
that's that good stuff. And then, if that works, then you use Alawi's ultimate ability, which is the test of Nagagaboros, which summons, like, 8 tentacles around them, and they all slap the person, and then she gets, like, a bunch of bonuses to her fighting.
Okay, cool. It's a hentai move.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Good.
She's known as the hentai character, so.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Just like Hydroid in Warframe is the hentai Warframe. Yeah.
The idea behind the test is that those who survive will have come close enough to death that they will find the will to pursue their true destiny.
Do you guys see that video on Twitch of the guy who compared Pornhub trends to Twitch streamers and found, like, the most popular Twitch streamers had similar qualities to the most searched things on Pornhub?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, he made, like, an infographic
about
it.
People want what they want, man.
Yeah. So
yeah, I guess they don't care how they get it.
Yeah. So he was like, he's like, based on these top three searches, if we get Japanese with big tits and hentai, we'll have the best streamer in the whole world. So whoever's out there, that's your opening.
We're
gonna be the ones to do it.
Yeah.
I'll emigrate to Japan. Okay. Jamie will read some hentai, and Peter,
I'll get on that.
You got to get some big titties.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Damn it.
Here we go. Tune into twitch.tv/thelord.
I should have spoken up. I didn't want that one.
Well, you know how to draw. We could switch. It's all right.
Oh, you could draw the hentai.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
I would have
do
to
big titty.
Yeah. I could learn how to draw. Yeah. You could be my model.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll get you the heart of the sea. And I'll just practice on you.
I will pay for you to do the three of us as hentai. As, like, softcore hentai.
I don't know if I wanted to
I don't
see
know.
That.
I really do.
I don't know if I could stomach that sitting there at my desk.
Yeah. Okay, so
Peter, you've been at this for 12 hours. Yeah. It's done, dude.
Just do it, like, while you're at work, dude. You doodle all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's true, eh? Yeah.
What are you drawing there, Pete?
Myself naked kissing Jamie. What?
But in Japanese art.
Ethan's an octopus.
Yeah. Just his head with tentacles. Yeah.
So, sometime in the wake of Nagagaboros appearing, whether by their hand or just coincidentally, universes began to form. The creation of the multiverse, followed by the Elder God, and with the creation of the Void and the universe, which would house Runeterra. So, Nagagaboros shows up, starts drifting around in the nothingness. In their wake, universes appear. In one of those universes, Elder Gods appear, and the Void appears, and Runeterra will eventually appear.
All the little bubbles start coming up and forming little universes and drifting around. Yeah,
exactly.
Just because she didn't clean her tentacles right. It's just leaving a trail behind, which is life as we know
it. Hey, wipe your tentacles before you walk through the Void. You're going to track life in here.
Yeah. Not the Void, but nothingness. But I know what you meant. The lowercase Void.
Yeah. Not the...
The uppercase Void being a place of Voidborn.
Yeah.
And very purple. So with the creation of the Void, first comes the Watchers, beings of the Void and masters to all living Voidborn, at least once there will be other living Voidborn. So there's, like, firstborn of the Void, the first demons, they rule all of the demons. We meet some, you never play as any or anything that crazy. So,
probably too strong.
Yeah.
Presumably, yeah. But
Void
probably
strong,
not.
It'll take you on.
Yeah.
Probably not.
It'll take on anyone.
Like I said, League of Legends takes place in a time, or, like, in a time and in a place where, like, you can summon creatures from other times to fight each other.
Each match is like a greatest hits sort of thing.
And they fully adjust all the power levels.
Oh,
so
okay.
We will get into some, like, very strong gods who end up in League of Legends as playable characters who, like, when you think about it, you're like, they're probably, like, first of all, like, way too big. There's characters who would just, like, be 10 times or a million times larger than the map that you play League of Legends on.
Summoner's Rift 3D printer doesn't have enough mats to do that. Exactly. So, like, there's 20,000 people playing right now.
They scale them down in size. They probably also scale the strength, which I guess you could say, like, canonizes patches.
Okay.
You know, it's like the actual summoners in-game adjusting the power levels of the avatars that are of real people.
Okay. Yeshua 27.0.1 comes out.
Exactly.
I remember, like, one of my first times working at a video game company, and I walked into the cafeteria and I heard people, like, arguing about the latest patch in League of Legends and being like, I'm home.
Yeah. Like, this is it, baby.
This does 8 instead of 10 damage now? What the f-? Yeah, like, yeah. Right here. This is it. Yeah.
So, timeless eons pass until the first breath of creation and the first true life in the universe. Kindred, the Eternal Hunters, the twin essences of death, would ironically be the firstborn in the universe. So,
life and death.
First to happen in the universe is death. And you'd kind of think like, hey, things appear based on need, but if there's no life, why would you need death?
Oh, yeah. Right?
Or maybe it's just like the fact that the first life was forming. It was like, oh, let's, you know, nip it in the bud right away. We're going to need death. Life, oh, life okay, starting, okay, yeah, let's get yeah. death.
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah, exactly. It was chicken and egg.
Yes.
Same time. Quantum state of chicken and egg.
eternally shifting between the two.
So Kindred is a playable character in League of Legends. Kindred is a duality, the wolf and the lamb. While Lamb's Bow might offer a quick death for those who take it, Wolf hunts down all who would run from it. When you play as a character, you're like a bipedal lamb with a bow, and you have like this like ghost wolf like spirit that that you can like send out to like bite people and attack.
Oh, okay, cool.
And things like that. And her fun. Her ultimate is, or their ultimate is they create a ring on the ground that nobody can die in. As long as you stand in that ring, and then after a certain amount of time, the ring disappears and it heals everybody. So like. Your people and other people. So the
oh,
whole,
that's an interesting balance.
Yeah, so it's all like get people super low because like they can take damage, but they just end up like with like 10 health or whatever, 100 health, whatever the numbers actually are. And then as soon as the ring disappears, you time it so you like you kill them all before they can kill you.
Okay. Nuke them. Kind of
following Kindred, the most recognizable faces are Aurelion Sol, the Starforger, who's a playable character in game.
Sounds awesome.
He looks like a... a nebula, basically, and he's like got stars all inside of him, and he shoots galaxies at people. And this is why I say they probably scaled some of these characters down, because he literally shoots galaxies at people.
Yeah. Do all these galaxies also have teeny tiny life inside of them? I'd like to think
presumably.
They do.
Good. And Bard, who you...
our big bang is just his cue, dude. We're about to hit a Kha'Zix or something. Yeah.
A trillion lifetimes wasted in a second when he totally whiffs on his ult. Yeah. Yeah.
No, Jamie was right. It's not even his ult that shoots galaxies. So.
Oh, yeah?
It's more, it's his Q or his E or something.
Yeah.
And the galaxies get bigger and bigger the further they travel.
Okay.
But it'll disappear if it gets too far away from him.
Okay.
So he has an ability that lets him move, like, super, super fast and basically just, like, fly over the map. He can, like, avoid...
He has to stay tethered to it, sort of.
So you can shoot, and then you go with it.
And then you go with it, and it just ends up, like, huge, and it takes up, like, your whole screen and just stuns, like, all the enemies on the screen.
Cool.
Obviously, it's hard to hit because you can see it coming from... Galaxy away. Glad we got there. Those improv classes are really paying off for us, Jim.
Yeah. Season the food a little.
So Aurelion Sol, the Star Forger, shows up, and Bard, the Wandering Caretaker, show up among other cosmic entities.
Ooh, I like the sound of the Wandering Caretaker.
Yeah, he's a support class. He
mops up the mess.
Yeah, he mops up the mess. He's like, he's really cute. He has like, when you play as him, like little like spirits like just appear on the map. I don't know if you've ever seen Princess Mononoke, but it's like the little forest spirits there.
Yeah.
And you can go and you can like pick them all up, and as you walk, they like start to follow you. Like if you walk past one, it'll just like choose to follow you, and then you like do an auto attack and you just throw them all at the end.
Oh, he's like Olimar on impact. It's like Pikmin.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's supposed to be cute, but when you think about it too much, it gets a little weird.
But I thought the idea of the Wandering Caretaker was like just like Scruffy from Futurama. He just like comes in, changes a light bulb, and then he's never seen again. He's like the littlest hobo, but like a handyman.
So in response to this sudden intrusion of life in the universe, the Watchers, the Void Watchers, who had been sleeping peacefully up until now, suddenly decide that the place is too noisy and begin planning to remove this bothersome life. So this is basically whatever happens in these first days of the universe, the Watchers decide they don't like life, and their whole thing is to kill all life.
They got bad taste in music, and they're too rowdy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, boomers.
Yeah.
Okay, Watchers. So meanwhile, Aurelion Sol is busy making stars, and Bard is busy taking care when the first Celestials would join them. Beyond Runeterra, the Celestials would form the Stellar Empire of Targon, which may sound familiar.
Yeah.
Targon is the name of the largest mountain on Runeterra. Targon Prime, the city of silver and gold, is a realm where Celestials reside. It's like heaven. You know, it's a place in the stars, a floating city of silver and gold.
Made of precious metal, yeah.
Exactly.
Sounds uncomfortable, to be honest.
I mean, I assume it's not all silver and gold.
Like, if you lay into a bed and then your pillow's an ingot.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
It's a real,
gold's a soft metal. It might be comfortable.
Real, real King Midas situation on our hands.
Yeah, exactly.
The playable character in League of Legends, King Midas.
Oh, yeah?
No.
The fourth?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So every generation or so, a Celestial will descend from Targon Prime to imbue mortals with some of their power. Soraka, who you would know from the game.
I played a lot of Soraka.
Is one of these Celestials. She's a Celestial. So she's nice. Got, like, pink skin and a unicorn horn coming out of her forehead.
Okay.
And her whole thing is, like, healing. She's Soraka the Star Child, and she has heals.
She has, like, a Starfire thing, so she could call down, like, a star from the sky and hit someone. I liked her because I looked up best support class and she was the top of the S tier. So I was like, well, I'm not going to be good, so I might as well use what's easy.
She's very changed from what she was when you were probably playing her. A lot more skill shots now, which I was like, her whole thing was like she was point and click, so you just had to like put your mouse on a friendly champion and you could do a thing.
Oh, okay.
Now it's a lot more like you have to time attacks and like
it's like a projectile now instead of a hit scan thing.
A lot more challenging, exactly.
Ezreal was the really hard one to play whenever I was playing. Like everything he had was a skill shot.
Yeah, except for his E, which was the blink away.
Yeah. Even then, like you had to use that properly or else.
Ezreal is definitely not the hardest champion to play anymore, but he's probably not the easiest
either. He was the toughest one that I attempted to play, and if I would have a good game I would feel like a god, but most of the time I would just be like so bad.
So our boy Aurelion Sol would eventually form Runeterra with artifacts known as the World Runes, which I mentioned when you brought up Rise earlier.
World Runes, that's old English for
World magic.
Terra magic.
Old Italian for Terra magic.
So
I really wish I knew more about the world runes, but what we do know is admittedly frustratingly brief. All I know for sure is that they were used to create the world of Runeterra and would eventually be much sought after and lead to something called the Rune Wars. If I do a follow-up episode, we might get into the Rune Wars. But
what was the prime god's name? Naga what?
Sorry?
The prime god.
Naga Kaboros.
Too busy making fun of you to listen to you. Sorry.
Sorry.
I didn't hear him.
Naga Kaboros was.
Naga Kaboros. Thank
Naga
you.
Naga Kaboros.
Was there a reason? You just forgot?
I just forgot and wanted to be up to date.
It made sense that I was making fun of him because he stopped the podcast just to be like, teacher, I forgot something that you told me already.
Imagine that though, you ask a teacher something and then they just go,
spit it out, junior. Come on.
Peter, maybe if you spent less time drawing your friends with titties and more time listening.
So, with the creation of the world using the world runes, we of course have magic. The surface of Runeterra would eventually calm enough to support primitive life, and with that, the first spirits and demons. So, Maokai, the Twisted Treant, who you probably remember.
I do.
He's a tree.
Cool.
A person tree. There's Evelyn, Agony's Embrace, who you'd probably remember.
Yes.
She's like a shadowy girl.
Yes.
And Tom Kench, who I don't think you remember, who is the River King.
He convinced me to paint his fence.
Tom Kench.
Tom Kench is a giant frog who eats people.
Cool.
The River King all appeared. He also speaks with like a Bayou accent.
Oh, he's Cajun.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's a Cajun frog that eats people. they all appear, followed shortly after by plant and animal life.
Sounds
video
like
games
Mardi Gras. Are dumb.
sounds a lot like Mardi Gras.
Yeah. So presumably there's some other spirits and demons which appear. We just don't know who they are because that champion hasn't been released in the game yet, you know?
Okay.
They always leave it open so that like if they release another character that's like Tom Kench or like Maokai, they can say like, oh yeah, this one came from this time too, you know?
Okay.
Terrestrial dragons are next, and dragons are in the game. You can kill them, but there's no champions that are dragons except for Shyvana, who can turn into a dragon sometimes.
Those are some of those big monsters in the jungle that you need to go kill.
They're kind of like in the river in the middle.
They're called a neutral objective.
Okay.
So like Jamie was saying, there's jungles on the map, and the map is split down the middle
by
and there's a jungle on your half and there's a jungle on their half, and then there's two monster camps in the river which are like on the line basically.
Okay.
One of them is Dragon Pit, which is where dragons spawn, and the other one is Baron Pit, where Baron Nashor spawns.
Okay.
Looks like a water dragon to me, but I don't know.
It's like a many-headed purple water monster. Kind of like a worm, kind of like a dragon.
Yeah.
There's also, more recently than Jamie's time, there's the Rift Herald, which is small like neutral monsters that don't attack called Scuttle Crabs. and one of those spent too much time in the Baron Pit and was corrupted by the magic that's just like around Baron, and became like this like hulking monster that can like destroy turrets. If you kill it, you can resummon it on your team, and it'll just like run down the lane and just like destroy their
neat.
Turrets.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can get your own giant enemy crab.
So after dragons, there's Yordles, a race of spirits who generally take the appearance of mammalian bipeds. So you know some Yordles?
Yeah, the wolfy one that could hunt people down?
No, Warwick is not a Yordle, but okay. Teemo is.
I love
Tristana
Teemo.
Is. Rumble is.
Rumble.
Heimerdinger is.
Teemo's a nice one. He's like a little guy. And
yeah,
I've
seen him.
He just leaves mushrooms everywhere.
Yeah. Never underestimate the power of the Scouts Code.
Yeah, exactly. Very good, yeah. He shoots like blow darts at
people. Size doesn't mean everything.
Yeah.
doesn't he go ballistic and get huge?
No, you're thinking of Gnar, okay. who's like a primordial Yordle.
Okay.
So,
it's a primordial mortal?
A primordial.
Oh my god, primordial Yordle. That's my new band.
So he's a caveman Yordle who was trapped in true ice for like a long time and then was thawed.
Oh, okay.
Now he's very like Ooga Booga. But the timelines are really, really
he's
weird.
Ooga Booga.
Yeah. The timelines are really, really weird because they talk about these like caveman Yordles, but Yordles just like appeared in this city called Bandle City, and like Fizz is the first one ever mentioned, but then it's like Gnar shows up sometime later and you're like, wait, but Fizz is like a sophisticated sophisticated Yordle. Why do you have cavemen running around?
Wouldn't it be so funny if we tricked these dumb Yordles into thinking evolution was real?
Yeah, so Yordles live in Bandle City, which no one can really agree on where it actually is. There are gateways on every continent which lead to Bandle City, where magic is overabundant and where few mortals have traveled. The few who have often return horribly aged or don't return at all.
So no mortal Yordles?
No.
No primordial mortal Yordles?
No. So they're kind of like fake creatures. They
become
like,
an E-Yordle if they went. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
E-Yordle.
An X-Yordle. Following a Yordle coming to Runeterra from Bandle City, Fizz, who I just mentioned, the first civilizations on Runeterra sprang up in the ocean. So the first mortal civilizations on Runeterra form in the ocean, actually.
Merman?
Fizz?
Yep, Merman.
Fizz has a shark? Or?
Fizz has a shark. He's kind of like a fish, yeah. And his ultimate ability is he throws a giant shark.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew used to play him all the time.
Yeah.
I think I've seen pictures of him. Is he kind of pudgy?
No, he's very thin. He's Fizz, the title trickster, and he has a trident, and he can like hop up on it and like become untargetable, basically, so he can like dodge other abilities, and then he like throws sharks at people.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Throwing sharks at people sounds strong.
Yeah. With all that coal use coming out of Piltover and Zaun, the ocean waters warming and coasting creatures up from the deep. Eventually, these cities would be destroyed by Gigalodons, massive dragon sharks.
Cool.
And there's nothing more on Gigalodons, and I'm furious about it. I read Dragon Sharks and I said the same thing you did. I was like, that sounds cool.
That sounds
I looked
great.
It up and there's nothing about it.
Yeah.
Nothing official. Anyway.
League of Legends, Immortal Yordles and the Gigalodons.
Yeah.
I love the sounds of everything. It sounds so great. Yeah.
So
Primordial Mortal Yordles and Gigalodons.
Primordial Yordles.
So about the Gigalodons is where we're going, right?
No, no more giggles. No more Gigalodons, Peter. You know
no
that.
Info.
So,
scene missing, just like then the city's destroyed.
Shortly after the Gigalodons destroy the civilizations on Runeterra, the poorly named Firstborn would appear. And I say poorly named Firstborn because
we've clearly had some history already.
We've clearly already talked about a bunch of other ones that were born. Yeah. So, these ones, the Firstborn will appear on Runeterra. Ornn, the fire below the mountain. Anivia, the Cryo Phoenix.
I love Anivia.
Cryo Phoenix is a sweet name.
She's an ice phoenix.
She was so.
No kidding.
She's a phoenix made of ice.
Anivia was cool as hell. I used to play her in mid lane, and she has, like, you could shoot out this ball, and then you can, like, make it explode whenever you want by pressing the button again, and then freeze them, then use your E, and it does, like, double damage after you've frozen them, and then you can make a wall so behind them so they can't even get away. It's just, she's very fun. I really enjoy her.
She's a good character. I like playing her.
Yeah.
There's Volibear, the Thunder's Roar, who's a armored polar bear who stands on his back legs and can summon thunder.
Sweet.
And a fourth unknown seal sister. So there, we have a name, but again, it's going to be a champion that's probably going
to
be
seal is in the animal or seal is in like
we don't know
seals
Peter.
To the void.
Hey,
we don't know,
seal
Peter.
Sister.
So that was exactly the
say,
song that came into
yeah,
my head.
But I want to say seal the animal.
Okay. Because they're all beast themed.
Yeah, and she.
What's that in French?
She does. Fuck.
We did it.
Oh wait, that sounds like a Jamie, that sounds like a dirty word.
Now I don't want to say a dirty word.
Now we need to use the explicit tag on iTunes.
Not on the podcast. Oh fuck shit, tit bitty.
Tit bitty.
We can say all that now because we've already blown our explicit tag line.
That's where you went with it. Tit bitty.
Fuck shit, tit bitty.
PG-13 podcast gets one bitty, and you got to use it wisely. Yeah,
So, Orn would terraform the land, which would eventually become the Freljord, and on it, he would construct his home, Horn Hall. This is just a fun little story about
the Okay. About Orn's Horn Hall in the fjords.
Yeah.
Say that again? It's a story about who now?
Orn.
Orn.
The fire below the mountain.
The fire.
Who's a playable character in League of Legends.
Okay.
Who you wouldn't know. Who's like, he's like a gruff blacksmith with like a big beard, and he breathes gouts of fire, and...
Jeez.
Yeah, he can summon,
take a
like...
Take Pepto-Bismol, my dude.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He chopped the wood himself and destroyed his sister Anivia's favorite perch in the process. So when he's creating his home, Horn Hall, he chops down Anivia's favorite tree. That's not nice, right?
Don't do that. Yeah.
Anivia, understandably annoyed, decides to teach Orn a lesson through the best way of learning.
Freezing everything he knows.
Pranks.
Pranks.
Pranks is a great way to teach people.
This is what Anivia's a nice bird. He's the fire below the mountain. This is George R. R. Martin's whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just ripping shit off from League of Legends. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So she plucks one of Anivia plucks one of her own feathers and tickles Orn's nose, causing him to sneeze a gout of flame. The fire caught on the bedsheets and eventually spread to the floor.
It's just dumb.
Anivia, panicking, flapping her wings to leave, stokes the fire high with the dry Freljord air.
Yeah, right.
The fire raged for days, darkening the skies with white ash, while Orn, the master of Horn Hall, slept peacefully.
This is like,
what?
Because he's fire aspected, the fire below the mountain, and doesn't notice that
he's toasty.
It's getting too hot.
Yeah.
He's like, he's kind of nice. When he awoke on top of a pile of ash. He has never learned what Anivia did, and she has never told him the truth. She never had her "it's just a prank, bro" moment.
Somebody just broke into my house, stole all my things, and left me on a pile of ash. Yeah. I don't know how they did it.
That is hilarious.
That's unusual.
Oh my god. And when you said he woke up on ash, not the playable character
The playable character Ash.
Okay, got it.
Coincidentally from the Freljord, though.
I would love to see the expression on the Cryo Phoenix's face. It's like, fuck, guys.
Her feathers do not look tickly. When I played, they look jagged.
They're ice, yeah. They're just like shards of ice, basically.
Poking him in the nose with it. Like, oh, he's going to be so mad.
I think it'd sooner melt than he'd wet himself from having his hand in water. But yeah.
So, Orn, never to be deterred, sought to construct a new home, a Horn Hall 2, this time out of non-flammable material. He makes himself a spade, a lever, and a fork in order to dig for ore, move mighty stone pillars,
snack,
and eat the delicious spiced cherries he was so fond of.
Spiced?
Okay!
Orn built his new home, and to prove how fireproof it was, Orn built a great forge in the middle of it, which he channeled the primordial molten flame from deep within the earth.
He looked up all the safety regulations and disregarded every single one to make a point.
Who eats cherries with a fork?
Somebody with long sleeves.
Wait, that's a good answer.
Why?
Because you can't, your hands don't come out of the sleeves. So how
forks?
The sleeves too long for your arms. Okay, yeah. I got you.
To the best of my knowledge, forks were invented by like foppish people who had like the long, roughy, silky shit at the end of their sleeves. So they invented forks because their hands were too short
to poke out of the
sleeve. And instead of shortening their ruffs, they needed to extend their reach.
Did people ever get confused and think that the fork was a very small hand on that person?
I think
they're like walking around with a fork sticking out.
I mean, I'm sure there were
tiny metal hands.
I'm sure
unusual.
There would be like illiterate peasants who would see someone coming through town, and then that would be the legend of like royalty in their tiny iron hands.
Yeah. So Orn drills down straight to the core of the earth, or straight to the mantle of the earth. And just has like lava constantly pouring up into his forge.
Yeah, check this out, guys. So fucking fireproof. Watch.
Yeah. Pleased with his new home, he dubs it Hearth Home. There was an issue though.
That's already a Blizzard IP, and they had to make their own card game.
Hearth Home.
Okay, got it.
The forge sure was nice, but it was too hot, even for Orn himself. Orn decides to dig a trench to the sea from his mountain, and the seal sister allowed cold waters to rush through the trench and cool Hearthhome.
This is one of those moments that we've talked about in the past, which is just like, we need to get all these snakes to eat the lizards, and then gorillas to eat the snakes and shit, where he's just like, oh man, I'm just going to show people how fireproof my home is. Drills to the center of the earth. He's like, well, that was a mistake. Instead of filling
lava here.
Yeah, he's like, oof, fuck me, man.
Don't put the dirt back in. Let's just drill towards the ocean.
So what I'm going to do is dig another trench, less deep, straight to the ocean.
First one was straight down. This one's not down at all, just straight sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I guess what's going to happen?
Sure.
So
I never say no to that.
Okay, so what I think is going to happen is he's going to discover steam, which helps that technical advanced town that we get later with the steampunk people, because it's all going to come down to the ocean. He has a big old tunnel, all of a sudden the hottest place in the earth, the whole ocean going in, steam's going to come flying out of it.
Oh, damn. Yeah, no, that's not it at all.
Oh, fuck.
I would have actually totally have believed that, where it's just like, well, I need to do something with the lava, use the ocean, now I need to do something with the steam. Why don't I put a big wheel over it, and then he builds an engine around that wheel, and boom, trains.
Dude,
trains, yeah.
Wow.
Sure, that's how trains were invented.
Yeah. This one out prank invented all trains. Yeah. You will never believe this.
Yeah.
Gone wrong, gone nude.
Yeah.
Gone wrong.
Trains were invented completely by accident. Yeah,
by prank.
Yeah.
So, great plumes of steam do rise up as water pours into Hearthome.
Okay.
And after 3 days,
like the gamers must,
the mountain was cool enough for Ornn.
Oh.
The channel which fed the mountain was so large that the ocean dipped several inches as a result of it.
Wow.
So much steam rose from the mountain that the blue sky above the Freljord was turned to gray clouds. The clouds gathered, and it would snow nonstop for 100 years.
This guy just, like, all he wants is such a comfortable shack to live in by himself, pop a couple brewskis, but he just cannot resist cataclysmic environmental destruction.
destroys Anivia's perch, like, destroys the Cryo Phoenix, like a god among birds, destroys her favorite, her one and only favorite perch.
Yeah.
Blankets the Freljord in snow and ice. So he's the reason the Freljord is covered in snow and ice. It wasn't snow and ice before this.
Okay.
It was.
He basically caused, like, an atomic, like, winter.
Barren tundra, but now it's like a glacier.
Okay.
You know?
It's like, he's doing the opposite of what he really is, too. He's so fire aspected and then covers the world in ice. It's like when you try, I'm going to raise my kid to be a hockey player, and then they get into ballet. You
yeah.
know?
Sometime after the invention of snow, humans will begin to appear.
The invention of snow.
Yeah. And settlements pop up throughout. Some Yordles start to live in the northern Freljord with the hardy human tribes there, including Nar, the missing link, who would eventually become trapped, frozen in true ice. I was gonna get
Norse armor.
I was gonna get into, you know, what Wukong was, like I promised, but we're at about an hour, and I was planning on doing another episode anyway, so I could probably get to it next time.
Okay.
True ice. Here's a cool line about true ice, which Nar was trapped in, and which Ash's bow is made of. True ice is a phenomenon that exists only in the coldest depths of the Freljord. A magical matter so cold it can never melt. Master Smiths have managed to craft this strange substance into powerful weapons and armor.
Okay, cool.
And that's how Ash's bow was made.
That's a pretty traditionally Nordic legend as well, because I know in Morrowind or in Skyrim, any of the parts that take place in the Northern Elder Scrolls games, there's Stalrim, which is also like a blacksmithing nigh indestructible ice.
No, that's what Bethesda does before releasing Elder Scrolls 6.
Stalrim, yeah.
It's almost been a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a year we and got a half, that, year and a bit short of a decade.
2 years ago, we got that E3 clip that it's exists.
Yeah.
But
we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We made a trailer.
Yeah.
With no gameplay. Some CGI grass on a mountain.
Yeah. So if you like the show, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes, please. You can get in touch with us online at Loreboys, at Loreboys Podcast, facebook.com/TheLoreboys. Or you can send us an email, contact@loreboys.com or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
I've got some emails.
It's the same email. Loreboyspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We actually have a bunch here. We got a bunch at the same time, and some got relegated to junk mail by accident, so we're sorry about that.
It wasn't us relegating you to junk mail. It was Google. So if yours ended up in our spam folder, be mad at Google.
Yeah. I've fixed it thus far.
Who's the leader of Google?
It's Dr. Google.
Mr. Google?
I think it's a Mrs. Google.
Is it a Mrs. Google now?
I think she's the true
Mrs.
power behind
it's
Google.
It's a Mrs. YouTube, but I think it might be a Mr. Google.
So it is in name only a Mr. Google.
Okay.
But the Mrs. Google is the true power behind the whole operation.
Oh, okay.
Behind every powerful Google is a strong Mrs. Google.
Yeah, exactly. So let's read some fan mail, huh?
Alrighty. So this one here comes from Nick. It says, "Hey guys, love your content. Just wanted to say, and I'm sure you've gotten this already, your Magic the Gathering content is off on some key points."
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was bound to happen.
"I'm listening to The Brothers' War right now and finding quite a few pieces that aren't right, and if corrected, would better explain the story and lay out the landscape of MTG. Card Bazaar on YouTube has full read-throughs of books if you wanted to have a listen, or just ignore this and continue. Either way, I'll keep listening, and I appreciate your hard work."
Cool.
So this is one of my favorite emails that we've gotten, because we've asked for constructive criticism in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Most people just layer on the praise, which is also great, because I like that. It makes me feel
warm. I want specific examples, though. Tell me how we fucked up. Don't just say, you're wrong. Say, was better.
Hop on our Discord,
and
we can chat there.
Call us idiots. Yeah. Call other people in the Discord idiots. Uh-huh. It's the internet. Just abuse each other.
Exactly.
Please. On our behalf, and also abuse us.
Us mostly, please.
Huh?
Us mostly, please.
Yeah. Now we got another one from Steven down in Joyzy. This one did not get relegated to our junk mail, but because we delayed the episode is the only reason this wasn't read. He sent us a tweet asking if we had changed our email, and I was like, you getting rejected messages or something?
Yeah.
No, we're just... didn't see it last episode and then didn't record last week. So
this one came in at like 1 a.m. or something. I remember it being like it reading like, because he wrote a second email to correct himself afterwards.
Yeah.
It read like he just got home from a bar and was like, I got to tell these boys something.
Yeah, I got a drunk doll of lore boys.
Which we love.
Yeah, we do love it.
So he's got some quotes here from us, which I'm just going to skip over. But he says, hey guys, what's up? I had a question for Ethan. Hope I spelled your name right. He didn't.
Okay, good.
In this instance.
Good.
How
it's on the
it?
Discord.
E-T-H-E-N in the email. It's
Ethan.
It's actually A-T-H-E-N.
Athens. I'm a city English.
For the record. Hope I spelled your name right. Anyway, I was wondering if there were any like Magic the Gathering werewolf packs or like werewolf heroes or villains. And if there are, I was wondering if you could do an episode on that. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great fucking work. Superman dude friend away! Gets in a car and drives off.
Like 5 minutes, you wrote back being like, fuck, I meant Superman's dumb friend.
Shortly thereafter, the subject line is all caps, fuck. It just says, I meant to say dumb friend, fuck, sorry.
Yeah, don't apologize, man. We got you, man.
There definitely is some werewolf heroes. I could definitely do just werewolves at some point. So I've talked a bit about it. There's Innistrad, which is like it's like a very vampires versus werewolf realm, and it's like super shadowy and dark and
what would a werewolf normally be? Black and red, green and black.
Werewolves are black or green and black.
Okay,
typically. Yeah, that would
very
make
green,
sense.
Very black.
Nice. I knew nothing about magic before this podcast. You taught me something.
Whereas vampires are
black, red.
Black red. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
I've got another Gmail here for loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. This guy's name is Dalton, which is a great name. He says, love the podcast. Resident Evil might be a cool topic to explore if y'all haven't already.
We mean to.
Thought about it. Yeah. Again, love the podcast and keep it up. Jamie has had Resident Evil on the brain for years at this point.
Yeah, I have like friends who are super into it and they want to come on. I also have like a friend who's super into Dragon Ball Z who wants to come on. Like, there's a bunch of that I want to get to. Yeah. That'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not much of a Gmail guy, because like we said, you don't like Dr. Mr. and Mrs. Google, you want to use Facebook, you can do like Steven here. Or Steve. I don't know. Presumptuous.
Is that the same Steven as we just read?
We've got two Stevens now.
Oh, it's a different Steven.
We have two Steves. Our cups runneth over with Steves.
All right.
He says, hey guys, I discovered your show about 3 weeks ago, and I fucking love it. At the start of your show the other day, you said hello to Switzerland, and I think that would be me.
Oh, hello, Switzerland.
Hey, Switzerland.
It was. It was totally a shout-out to him, because I remember sometimes I will lurk new fans just to see, like, what our reach is, and I saw that it was Steve, and then his last name, and then...
Follow us on Facebook if you want Peter to stalk you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'd like the honor. It's been a difficult start to the year, and it made my fucking day. Keep up the good work. So that is very good. I've had... loud noises outside apparently distracting me on the podcast.
They won't even come out, though. If you just would have powered through, we wouldn't even have noticed. But.
All right. Cool. And I have two more messages here on the old Facebook. This one is from a guy named Olafur, who is...
He's from the Ice One land, probably.
Oh, the Freljord, yeah.
Yeah, the Freljord.
He's actually from Australia.
Oh, that's the opposite.
Nice call, James.
Yeah.
Biffed it so bad.
Yeah.
Griffith, it's so bad.
Prejudice much?
There was like 100 names. I can't keep them all in my head.
So this guy says, hi, boys. Love the show. It's a wild ride. Best thing is if I love the lore of the week, which is all hyphenated.
Okay.
Lore of the week. I can laugh with you. And when I'm not a fan, I can also laugh with you. At them. None of my friends will listen to my bullshit anymore. So would you do me a huge favor and look at Xenoclash or I Divine Cybermancy? For me, because misery deserves company. XO, two kissy emojis.
Aww. Oh, that sounds nice. That sounds like some mechy stuff. to me. I don't know.
Divine Cybermancy is this wild-ass shooter on Steam. I've seen it before. I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
My ex-girlfriend played the shit out of it.
Cool.
And kept trying to get me into it, but I found it very confusing.
So you broke up.
Yeah. So I dumped her.
As you do.
But she never sent me two kissing emojis, but so Olafur's got a way better chance yeah. than Tia ever did.
We'll never bump you, Olafur. Hope we're pronouncing that name right.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's one more.
We don't need to kill our time searching for it. We can bring it to you guys next week. So,
This one's short.
Okay.
Just because we're meth dealers. This guy's name is Kevin, and it just says, I just listened to your Witcher episode, and now I'm playing The Witcher 3 again. Thank you for reminding me of how dope this game is. And I love feeding people's addictions.
So Witcher medallion on the wall behind me right now.
Yeah. So sorry about the backlog of fan mail there. It won't normally be that long. But we, of course, appreciate everything you guys sent to us.
And sorry for the delay in episodes last week. We missed a week. We are very, very weak-willed people at times, and we can't always get the episodes out when you guys deserve it.
I chemically boiled my brain by accident.
Yeah, Peter was, like, sick. Ethan's back was out. I was available, but you guys don't want to hear just me, so, yeah.
Only
Jamie
Peter
and two
I
sock puppets that just look like us.
I can't
styled
cut myself.
Like hentai characters.
I can't cut myself off. I would love that you cut me off.
Yeah. Really perfect, honestly. That was really like a perfect little microcosm of the show. So send us some feedback if you guys like it. I've been Ethan Palmer. I've been your host at Ethan the Deadman on Twitter.
I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter.
I'm James Miller at selloutvacations.com.
We do have a PayPal, paypal.com/theloreboys.
And Patreon as well.
Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
We do have a PayPal, but that was just for Twitch payouts.
Yeah, you don't have to. I don't even know if you can just send us directly money on PayPal. I don't think so. Yeah. I meant to say Patreon. Clearly, I'm very good at this whole professional
podcast. Well, the funny
thing
is, like, PayPal is like mid. We're not boomer enough to know how to use PayPal, but we're but we're too boomer to understand how to figure it out.
Just take one of our passports. Don't care how you get it. Put some money in an envelope with the passport. Drop it into any mailbox. It'll show up at our door.
It'll show up at our door.
Exactly.
And for anyone who doesn't trust PayPal and wants to support us financially otherwise, we are offering a pretty cool special this week. It's themed after this week's episode like we usually try and do. We will, if you send us $12.99 in the mail, with a return address, we will come to your house, play a prank, and burn your house down for you.
Oh yeah.
So make sure to get those envelopes sent to us. Don't put someone else's address as the return address. That's not cool, guys.
No.
Because that would be us pranking you, pranking them, which is your prank, and we're the pranksters.
Yeah, we're the pranksters here. We're not getting pranked. I'm not getting pranked up in here.
No.
I'd never agreed to getting pranked. Yeah. So
don't you give me my own address so I burn my house down without noticing.
Send us your money and we will burn your house down. That constitutes
a
Lore
Boys
out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.